This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions. AgriTalk is sponsored by ESN Smart Nitrogen, the leading controlled release nitrogen in agriculture. It's the smart way to reduce nitrogen loss and increase yield. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com. All right, everybody. Grain markets ended the week with some gains. But there is only one market we can call really impressive this week, and that goes to the big-time rally scene in lean hog futures.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk.
Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis Michelson is taking a little time off with his family. Much-deserved time off for Davis. Spend a little time out there. Plus, that means that I get to spend time with Betsy Jib. And Betsy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. I'm gonna miss this, though, when Davis comes back.
Well, you can stop by anytime you want to, Bets. It's all right.
All right. Well, thanks. Yeah. How are you?
Good. You know, we were talking this morning on the first hour of AgriTalk on the free-for-all. Mm-hmm. Had Jim Wiesmeyer on, Pam Johnson on, and this week it was Randy Russell from the Russell Group. But during Markets Now with Brian Grady, we talked quite a bit about what's going on in the hog market right now. And at Jim Smith 87 tweeted out during the show this morning that it was quite possibly the understatement of the week in regards to the 16% reduction in the Chinese hog herd, that Brian Grady called it bullish. So now we've got Van Larsen right behind him saying, okay, well, maybe we need a new word here. So instead of calling it bullish, maybe we'll call it piggish, the move that we saw. Yeah, the move that we saw in hogs this week. Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all.
I kind of want you to toss out that phrase next time you talk to a broker, an analyst. Just say, are you piggish on hogs? Yeah. I just want to see how they respond.
Nice. You know I'm going to now. Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted, Betsy Jibben.
But man alive, did you think you'd see that much green with lean hogs compared to in the past? My gosh.
No. And
three in front of it?
Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures, talked about this yesterday. When you look at the daily chart and it's got a V bottom on it, we slid hard into that late February low, and we've just come rocketing up and out of that February low. I think it was Monday when I said, hey, you know what? Good news here. We got to close over $60 in April hogs. We're over $68 at the end of the week.
Yeah.
This is really a phenomenal move that we're seeing here. And we've got, there's lots of reasons for the move that we're seeing in the hog market right now. But a lot of it has to do with African swine fever in China. And we'll talk about that more here in just a little bit. As a matter of fact, I want to talk about it more in the next segment, too. So.
Okay. Well, that brings me to my next question, though. How do we know those numbers for sure of what the total numbers of losses are in China?
See, that's a great question. And I have no good answer for you. If you're going to question one set of numbers coming from the Chinese officials or official Chinese, you know, numbers, if you're going to question one set of numbers, why shouldn't you question the next set of numbers? And you're exactly right. The thing that Brian pointed out this morning, though, was that if you do get a set of numbers that is summarizing a bad situation like ASF, you can probably assume it's even worse than what they are telling you. And when they talk about the sow herd off 19%, it's off at least 19% is what I would say to that. And trying to, you know, justify trusting those numbers out of China. So yeah, it's all there. There's a lot of unknowns still around this, but we do know this. It turned into a heck of a big pork buy by China in the first week of March. And that was really what got this thing off and running this week. So, man, we're spending too much time here. I think we better get to what's going on.
I know, that's what I'm wondering. Do you want me to start with livestock?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, we'll start with livestock. So it took strong gains on spillover support from lean hog futures for live cattle futures to claw back early week losses. Compared to last Friday, front month cattle futures were down about 60 cents, but today April live cattle were $1.70 higher at 129.10. June live cattle jumped 157.5, and April feeders gained $2.27.5 to close at 146.92.5. Now with hogs, China's purchases, as you mentioned, of U.S. pork and confirmation that nearly one-fifth of the Chinese sow herd has been lost since last February chased all selling interest out of the lean hog market today. April lean hogs were up the $3 daily trading limit at $68.80, and June hogs closed at $86.52.5, also up the $3 limit. On the week, April lean futures closed at $8.25 above last Friday's close.
Yeah. Eight and a quarter above last Friday's close. That is a big move on the week. 19% of the sow herd, 16% of the total hog herd has been lost in 1 year in China. Now, I can talk about this a little. You know what? I'm going to save it. It's not just ASF. There's some economic, financial, and production reasons. You know, they're modernizing the way that they produce hogs over there. That is also helping to trim that herd there. So, all right, what happened in the grains, Betts?
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the grains. I'll start with the dollar first. Yep. The U.S. dollar index was under light pressure today as currency traders continue to weigh the risk of global economic growth. For most of the week, U.S. trade battles with partners around the world were blamed for the pressure on the greenback. Today, the dollar index was off about 700 points from Friday's close.
Yeah, and the trade issues, whether it be with China or Japan or the EU or Mexico, Canada, it does throw a lot of uncertainty into the currency trade, and I think that's a big part of the reason that we saw pressure on the greenback this week.
All right, do I have time for wheat?
You bet. Go for it.
All right. So volatility roared back into the wheat market this week. Wheat prices on Monday were under hefty pressure, but the price slide stopped with sharp gains on Tuesday and give and take trade for the rest of the week. The ability of May's soft red winter wheat futures to close above the 460 on the highs of the week should encourage additional short covering to start next week. Compared to last Friday, May's soft red winter futures were up more than 20 cents. Yeah. May hard red futures were 6.5 cents higher at 4.43 even. May soft red futures jumped 9.5 cents to 4.62 1/4. May spring wheat was a penny higher at 5.53 1/2.
You know, maybe the most important thing that happened in the wheat market this week, Betsy, was they just quit selling and started getting out of short positions. That could be the most important thing. What happened in corn?
All right, May corn futures were 3 cents higher at 3.73 1/4. July corn was up 2.75 cents at 3.82 1/4. December 19 corn closed at 3.96, up 2 pennies on the day.
Yeah, a little bit of feeling better. We're closing the gaps and narrowing up the differences between the U.S. and China on the trade talks. I think that's helping out this corn market some.
All right, last thing, comments from both U.S. and Chinese trade teams that progress is being made on key issues help soybean futures trade higher today. Also, members of the National Oilseed Processors Association reported they crushed nearly 154.5 million bushels of beans in February. That was just short of trade expectations, but was still a new record for February. The signs of strong domestic soybean demand did help bean futures close today near the week's highs. Compared to last Friday, May bean futures were up more than 13 cents on the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Big moves today. May beans up 10.75. July beans up 10.75. And November beans up 9.75 cents on the close today. Betsy, it was fun the past couple of days.
Yeah.
I look forward to talking to you again here real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. That is Betsy Gibbon. Now, when we come back, it is an open segment. I want you guys to pick up the phone, give me a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. When you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk. Let's talk a little bit more about that Chinese hog situation next. March is Women's History Month, and RFD-TV's Farm Her, sponsored by Syngenta, takes a look at how women across the country are impacting agriculture. We're joined today by the founder and host of Farm Her. That's Margie Geiler-Alanese. Margie, tell us. Well, first off, Margie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell us, what inspired Farm Her?
Well, I was fresh off of a career in corporate agriculture, and really, you know, just trying to be mindful and wide open about where I was going to go, my next step for myself personally and professionally. And right after I left my job, the Super Bowl was on, and literally the weekend after, and there was a commercial on during the Super Bowl, and it was a truck commercial set to a speech by Paul Harvey called God Made a Farmer, with all these beautiful images of farmers. And it was just still photos, and I have a background in photography, and I've always loved it. And I absolutely loved the commercial. And what I didn't realize when I watched it until I read an article a short while later here in our local newspaper that pointed out, yeah, that was an amazing commercial, and wow, I'm so, you know, we're so proud that that was on during the Super Bowl, but where were the women? And not just in that commercial, but, you know, pictured anywhere in agriculture. So that bothered me when I read that article, and I let it settle a little bit, and I woke up in the middle of the night the next night with this idea to start a photography project called Farm Her, where I showed the real, everyday, strong roles that women play on farms and ranches and in agriculture in general. And so that's how Farm Her was born. It was a photo project, and I just started running at it. And I was just going to take pictures of a few women right here in Iowa, and it's grown and changed a little bit since then. But that's
it. Just a little bit. It's changed just a little. Did you ever imagine in the early days of a quote-unquote photo project that it would turn into the movement that it is?
Not at all, but I had high hopes for it from the beginning. You know, people ask me, what do you want to do with this? And I said, I want to change how people see agriculture. And I realize that's the most lofty thing you can say, but I wanted to include women in that picture when you think about it. And so it's something that is really near and dear to my heart. I care so much about it, and I meet the best people, and the chance to get to celebrate them is something that I will do all day long, every day. And so when I put it out there, it became clear fairly quickly that the women who are part of agriculture liked it and needed it too.
Fantastic. I'm going to enjoy learning more about this, Margie. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to hear more from Margie next week. You can see Farm Her on RFD-TV on Friday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and you can learn more by visiting SyngentaThrive.com/farmher.
I'm a hard-working nitrogen granule, just like anyone else. You know, I never used to take this nitrogen gig too seriously, but now I have a wife and kids to think about. I love those little granules. So now I wear this protective ESN polymer coating. It protects me from nitrogen loss on the job site until crops need me, whether it's heavy rain, hot, dry wind, or even nasty bacteria in standing water. I'm not worried about it. Plus, I'm a very responsive guy. If the weather warms up, I'll be working hard to give those crops the nitrogen they need. Come and get it, fellas. And I'll stay on the job 50 up to 80 days if I have to, till my work is done. Isn't it time you picked a smarter, harder-working nitrogen for your farm? Like me. Come check me out at smartnitrogen.com.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Spray for as low as $3 an acre with the new Apache sprayer. Talk to your local Apache dealer or run the numbers at ApacheSprayers.com/return.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Dollar was lower today. Crude was lower. Stocks were lower. Corn, firm. Soybean, moderately higher. Soybean meal was higher with bean oil lower. Wheat was higher. Live cattle and feeder cattle saw solid gains. Lean hogs were limit up. In today's trade, big move in the hog market today. The reason I'm chuckling is during the break, I was watching the pre-coverage of what is going to be coverage in the Oval Office at the White House of President Trump's live veto of the congressional measure to overturn his declaration of a national emergency on the southern border. Everybody's clear with that? So there's a lot going on in a little bit of time here, but basically Congress has and the Senate voted 59-41 on this to overturn Trump's national emergency declaration. So of course, when you get into that close to 60 of the 100 senators, and what was it, a dozen Republican senators voting to overturn the national emergency declaration, there is growing wonder if Congress is then going to attempt to overturn the veto. So this is not done. Just because President Trump is going to veto the congressional measure, it is not done. There is no question about it. Like I said, big week in the hog market. It started early in the week, and it really took off yesterday after the weekly export sales report for the week ended March 7. That's when we found out that China bought, and China made these purchases, guys. China made these pork purchases, even with all the tariffs still in place. It makes me wonder, because, it's the Chinese government that is in charge of collecting those tariffs from the buyers. That's one thing about tariffs that I hope everybody has figured out. It is the buyers of the products that pay those tariffs, not China paying for access to the U.S. market or the U.S. paying for access to the Chinese market. No, the buyers of the products pay the tariffs. But if the Chinese government is not all that aggressive in collecting those tariffs on some products, say for soybeans, say for pork, there's essentially no tariff on those products then. I'm not saying that that isn't happening, but when Chinese buyers take on nearly 24,000 metric tons, this is 52.5 million pounds of pork, guys. When they buy that much pork at tariffs up to 60%, it makes me wonder just how aggressive China is being in collecting those tariffs or not. So we're moving all that product in there, and we finally got some numbers on how much impact and how much smaller the Chinese hog herd is than it was a year ago. What was it, August, when we started to hear about ASF? I think that's right. So these numbers compare well in front of the onset of African swine fever in China. Total market hog inventory, down 16.6% from year ago in February. Sow herd off 19.1%. Again, like Betsy and I were talking about in the last segment, you can question the validity of those numbers. And I'll admit, if I'm going to question what Chinese corn stocks are, because you can't trust any numbers on Chinese corn supplies coming from the Chinese government, then of course you have to say, well, you can't trust these numbers either. Brian Grady made a good point this morning in first hour of AgriTalk in Markets Now when he said, but because these numbers are estimates of a dire situation in China, you can only imagine that the situation is even worse than what the Chinese government is letting on. So market hog inventory off at least 16.6%. Sow herd down at least 19.1%. I say if we go with that, I think we're going to be just fine. That's 20%. That's one-fifth of the sow herd. So it means a couple of things. Number one, fewer pigs going forward. Fewer pigs going forward means lower feed demand in the year ahead in China. Lower feed demand when it comes to the way the Chinese feed hogs means a whole lot less soybean meal demand in that country. That realization hitting us on a day when bean prices are up a dime? No. It's not like it's hitting us just today. This has been something that has been discussed for quite some time. It's one of the reasons that we have scratched our heads on AgriTalk from time to time about how are bean prices holding up here at the levels that we are when we've got carryover at 900 million bushels and a smaller Chinese hog herd. Yeah. Good questions. I don't have an answer to it. If you do, give me a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. So here we are. We are looking at lower feed demand for soybean meal in particular in the year ahead because of these cuts to the Chinese herd. Now, does it also mean that could China continue to buy U.S. pork in an effort to bridge the gap between the lost domestic supplies in China and the demand for the product in the country? There's a little question over just how much demand is growing or what that level of demand is for product in China right now, too. The demand for pork, still the number one meat, no question about it. But hearing more and more reports, and it's all anecdotal, but nonetheless, you continue to hear this, and it gets to the point that you have to say something about it, that Chinese consumers have started to shy away from pork simply because it of the risk that it's going to carry the African swine fever virus. No impact on humans. The virus has no impact on humans. It can be consumed. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that hog prices were under pressure in China for so long is because some of the producers there were marketing hogs before they were really ready or liquidating sow herds in anticipation that they were going to be hit with ASF and be forced to market those hogs anyway. Now, they probably, some of those hogs, more probably, were carrying the virus when they went to market anyway. So there is the concern that we are seeing overall pork demand in China start to retrace just a bit in here because of the concern over consuming the African swine fever virus. So we've got to keep that in mind. Now, recently, hog prices have turned around and gone to the upside. 14-month highs, and a very impressive market that we're looking at in China, and it's getting more impressive every day here in the U.S. as well. You know, I talked about that Abra contract at 68.80, up the $3 limit today, and all week long I've been talking about the summer month contracts. Today, July 19 hog futures, 89.37.5. The August contract, 89.75. So knocking on the door at 90 bucks in the summer month lean hog futures. Big moves there. Big moves. Outside of China, we are looking at really strong exports of protein, beef and pork. The U.S. exported over 520 million pounds of pork. In December, we exported 262 million pounds of beef in December. Both of those were records for the month. Those are the latest. That's the latest data that we have on pork exports, beef exports. But it's the last month of the year, and when you look at it for the year, we've got record levels of U.S. and beef, of U.S. beef and pork exports in 2018. Pretty phenomenal. I mean, we're talking about basically a third. A third of our pork production, we can find a home for it someplace other than in the U.S. So if we, we talked with Dr. Spronk from NPPC earlier this week about what happens even if we find a disease like ASF in the wild hogs that we've got down in the South. Yeah, shuts off that market. So we have to do everything that we possibly can to avoid and stop that disease or any animal disease from making its way into the U.S. Okay, guys, we're going to talk dairy market. Coming up next here, we've got Alyssa Badger from High Ground Dairy. And, wow, we've got a long list of things that we want to cover. We're going to get right to it next on AgriTalk.
It's time to give back to your roots and make this your best growing season with Radiate. Radiate's patented formulation of plant growth regulators help develop longer, stronger, healthier roots to improve nutrient uptake. And now, when you give back to your roots, you give back to FFA. Nutrient Ag Solutions and Radiate are proud to support national FFA alumni and supporters chapter grant programs across the country. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go online to RadiateRoots.com for more details. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm talking about the cotton market for the first time in a while today, due largely to the fact that it's been trading mostly sideways in a narrow range for weeks. The most active May contract did dip to a fresh 15-month low at 71.03 cents per pound on February 13th and has been edging upward since then. Traders and investors have been wishing and hoping for a U.S.-China trade deal for months, with this week's upward pushes apparently reflecting renewed hopes on that score. From a technical standpoint, Tuesday's upward push and Wednesday's follow-through to a six-week high carried prices well above 40-day moving average resistance. Thursday's setback retested that level, but today's strong rebound in the face of talks of a trade resolution delay suggests the market is set for larger gains.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. You have a good weekend, man. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at ProFarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get powerful control of your toughest weeds. Pound them with DyFlex Duo.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Quick recap of what happened in the markets today. May hard red futures, 6.5 cents higher, 443 even. May SRW up 9.5, 462.25. May corn, 3 cents higher, 373.25. July, up 2.75 cents, 382.25. May soybean futures, 10.75 cents higher at 909.25. July beans gained 10.75 cents to close at 923 even. April live cattle futures, buck 70 higher, 129.10. April feeders gained $2.27.5 to close at 146.92.5. April lean hog futures up the $3 daily trading limit at 68.80. All right, let's talk dairy. Actually, Alyssa Badger, High Ground Dairy, what is this prison chicken you tweet of?
Oh, Lord. I'd say there's two popular restaurants, you know, the guys at the Board of Trade would go, and that was Pepper's and Mike's Chicken, and it's right across the street from the federal prison, so we just call it a prison chicken.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Hey, you can send me a bucket anytime you want, okay?
Oh, it's delicious.
Is it? I'll bet it is. If the traders are into it, I'm pretty sure it's probably good. How are you? It's good to talk with you again.
I'm really good. I'm actually gearing up to head out to New Zealand here in the next week and a half for do a farm tour and just kind of check out the scene down there again.
Yeah, yeah, boy, I haven't mentioned it either this morning or I'll mention it right now for the first time. Oh, boy, hearts and prayers out to people down there in New Zealand dealing with the shooting. The attitude and the mood will be different on this trip down there, Alyssa. There's no question about it. That's going to have an impact on that country. So,
yeah,
something to remember. Yeah. Yeah, keep them in your prayers. Keep them in your prayers. Hey, Alyssa, you know, I look at the milk chart at least, you know, honestly, at least three times a week. I'm not telling you that it's something that I watch on a daily basis, but it's at least three times a week. I've been watching this rally in milk futures. I mean, the April contract up basically a buck from the February lows. What got that thing going?
I'd say it's safe to say it had a lot to do with the January and February winter weather. You know, we went from dealing with a brutal cold across the upper Midwest and Northeast And then into February, we had the snowstorms out west and even more, you know, overall negative weather in the Midwest. And I think, so you have to remember that the Class 3 price is, the biggest moves are going to happen due to the price movements on the CME spot market. So, and that's going to be cheese. And what we think happened was with the negative weather primarily in the upper Midwest for so long that it finally created a temporary shortage of what we'd call a 4 to 30 day age product that you can sell at the CME on the spot market. And that tightness kind of prompted more people to have to come to the spot market to procure their needs. And in turn, the bidders kind of pushed that market up, and futures, you know, spec traders, hedgers came in to kind of get on the bid side of the market for the first time in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. In the last segment, I wrapped up talking about pork exports, beef exports. Our dairy exports are obviously very critical to how this market is trading, and which means that we need to keep track of our competitors. And New Zealand is one of those competitors that we need to keep track of. What's the situation there?
So this is fascinating, and I know a lot of people are concerned. We, you know, we've had a rally in milk prices, but they're still relatively low. Into the second half of the year, everything developing in New Zealand right now will certainly help our milk prices here at home. They've been dealing with a really bad drought, going on, you know, multiple weeks without rain. Droughts can develop really quickly over there. That's just the way it is. Now, you know, most recent estimates from Fonterra, who represents about 85 to 90% of the milk collections down there, they are expecting milk production to fall 9% from February to May over prior year, and it'll be the worst end to their season since the 2012-2013 market. So that's certainly going to cause some tightness there. Not only that, their pasture conditions heading into the new season are going to be negative and may certainly cause a rally there into the new season as well, stronger milk prices, which will be great because, as everyone probably knows, world's largest exporter of dairy products. So certainly something to watch. I don't think there's any way pasture conditions will improve and they're running low on silage as it is. So,
Now, when you talk about drought in New Zealand, it's a small enough country. Is it the entire dairy area is under a drought, or is it just part of it?
So the most milk is produced in the North Island in the Waikato region, and that is almost entirely in, I wouldn't say extreme drought, but it's dry across the entire region. Worst conditions on the South Island, where about 20 to 25% of the milk production is made, but they have irrigating systems down there a little bit more advanced, whereas the North Island depends a lot more on grass conditions.
Gotcha. Okay, let's go to another competitor, the EU. What is the production trends there?
So Germany and France are the two largest. Germany, France, and UK are the largest producers within the Union. Germany and France were reporting negative milk collections extensively for about, I believe it to be anywhere between 8-5 months, really long time, kind of unusual for that region. They were also dealing with a negative summer that impacted the availability of feed there. Just kind of a unusual situation because they were cranking out milk for so long after removing the quota system that the market's just not used to seeing this. And something that's, you know, kind of favorable overall is that global milk production, and we kind of estimate that by the top five exporting regions, and that will have fallen below prior year for three consecutive months as of January. So somewhat of a supportive factor there as supplies will just be a little tighter than normal.
Okay. All right. So what can we, like you said, we've got this nice rally off the February lows in here, almost a buck in the April contract, but we're still, Class 3 milk futures are still under 15 bucks a hundredweight. Can we anticipate much strength in here?
That's tough. We're heading into the strongest, you know, March, April, May, strongest months for milk production that we have. So it's really hard to get, you know, excited or bowled up about the market right now. I got a lot of questions on Twitter about the slaughter cull rates. I wanted to, you know, I just did a quick check, and through March, this is the strongest cow cull rate that we've had since 2012. And, you know, January milk production report just came out this week, a little delayed because of the government shutdown. Okay. But it showed that our herd size was down 83,000 head. Right. But, you know, it was just shocking to us because a lot of the marketplace was expecting, you know, unchanged, maybe even lower milk production for the first time in 3 years. But instead we got almost, you know, 0.9% growth across the country. That's the strongest report we've seen in a few months. On fewer cows. So something else we have to consider is that I don't know if anyone tracks how much milk cows cost, but they're the cheapest they've been since the late 90s. So as we continue to get more farm consolidation, which I've talked about so many times, it's inevitable, unfortunately, but these larger dairies that can, you know, sort of sustain these tighter margins are just going to continue to buy cheap cows.
Yeah.
And continue.
Well, and they're turning over the herd much quicker than what they did in the past because of genetics too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Wisconsin's the perfect example of this. They reported a 2.9% gain in production in January, and their herd size has been well below prior year for 15 months.
Yeah.
Crazy. So thanks, genetics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta love technology.
No doubt. So what are you telling clients right now, Alyssa? What do they need to do to manage their risk in the milk market?
So I think there's a relatively low number of farmers that use the board. They have so many options to hedge through their co-op. Yep. So we're kind of just telling farmers that they should keep an eye out for the Dairy Margin Protection Coverage Program. That's authorized through the upcoming Farm Bill. I believe available mid-June. We're just telling them to max out their coverage on the first 5 million pounds and then to seriously consider.
Yeah, the January payment's going to cover their cost, isn't it?
Yeah, it should. And then we're telling them to, you know, we're kind of making a big push about educating the industry about the Dairy Revenue Protection Insurance, which, you know, we're registered agents. So if anyone, you know, give us a call, I'm more than happy to explain it in depth when there's more time.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, like I said, Alyssa, when you get a chance, go ahead and send me a bucket of chicken. I'd give it a try anytime.
Sure thing. No problem.
All right. Alyssa, it's fun to talk with you every time. Thank you so much for making time to be on AgriTalk.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great weekend.
You too. Great. All right. That is Alyssa Badger, High Ground Dairy. You guys go to agritalk.com. We got a link to High Ground at agritalk.com that will take you to the conversation with Alyssa about the margin price or the margin protection policies that are available out there. All right, everybody. Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about these refinery exemptions. I can't help myself. I got to go back to it. More waivers from EPA for the RFS. We'll cover it next.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer?
Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy Two Save Three are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit tryprofarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's tryprofarmer.com. Pro Farmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. Pro Farmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the Pro Farmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's good to hear his voice, even though he isn't here, isn't it? He'll be back with us next week. As a matter of fact, on Monday afternoon, Davis is going to be hosting the show because I am going to be at an event down in Cedar Rapids. So I won't be here for the show on Monday, but Davis and Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing will make sure to get you up to speed with what is going on in the markets and what to expect for the rest of the week. Okay. Great conversation there with Alyssa Badger. It's always interesting to talk about the dairy market, because when we do, we always have to focus on what's going on in New Zealand, what's going on in Europe, and it's because of the milk powders and the cheese and the ebb and flow of demand around the world for these products, and it has such a big impact on domestic prices here. And it's, you know, it's like Alyssa said, right now, maybe the best form of risk management that you've got to, most important risk management steps that you need to do is make sure that you're up to speed on exactly what the margin protection programs are offering in the dairy markets right now. Lots of conversation this week, and including this morning on AgriTalk, about the waivers that were announced yesterday. Five new waivers. Goodness gracious. It's estimated that it took another 360 million bushels of ethanol demand out of the market. A lot of questions going on around exactly what it might mean for total ethanol demand as far as what these waivers do. You talk to RFA, you talk to National Corn Growers Association. They're going to say that we've wiped out 2.6 billion gallons of ethanol demand. You talk to Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. He's going to tell you the same thing. So then just take your typical conversion rate. We're talking about a billion bushels of corn demand is what we are talking about. It's too much. I mean, good grief. This is, it's pretty hard to take in a market like we're dealing with right now. You know, we're going through that, and we have scaled back our expectations of corn for ethanol use in the supply and demand balance sheets. We've done all of that, and we're still looking at total demand around 15 billion gallons. Just think if we could get that back. I'm sorry, I said 15 billion gallons. Total corn demand of about 15 billion bushels. Just think if we could get the billion bushels of corn demand back for the ethanol that we haven't had to sell because of the SREs, the small refinery exemptions that have been issued by EPA. Wouldn't that be something? 16 billion bushels of total demand? Do you think we could get there? Yeah, maybe not. Maybe we'd have to start rationing some out of the export market. Wouldn't that be fun? The only way that you ration corn out of the export market is higher prices. So it's a big question mark out there. And one of the guys that's throwing a big question mark on just exactly what the impact of the refinery exemptions are on total ethanol demand is Scott Irwin over at the University of Illinois. And I understand what Scott is saying, that because of the mandate up to 15 billion gallons, you know, there's E10, the blend wall is what we're talking about. And just the simple fact that ethanol is priced cheaper and the ethanol blends are priced cheaper at the pump, that the fact that they don't have a blending requirement out there doesn't have an overall impact, or not that great of an impact, on ethanol demand. I think I disagree. I really do. Now, the other thing that Irwin is saying is that the bigger impact is on biodiesel, because biodiesel, when you get right down to it, is not competitively priced. So to see biodiesel use, there needs to be some additional incentive on top of it, and that's where the RINs come in play into play. So Irwin is saying from 2016 to 2019, the SREs are costing about 2.5 billion gallons of biodiesel demand. Okay, that's a lot. That is a lot. Now, here's what I'm arguing. Now, the lower blending requirement, which is what the small refinery exemptions amount to is a lower blending requirement that equals less demand for RINs, the renewable identification numbers that the blenders are have to turn in to prove that they have met their obligations. So if you've got less demand for RINs, doesn't that mean a lower price for RINs? And if you've got a lower price for RINs, I think there's less incentive in the market to blend ethanol. Because the higher the price of the RINs, if you've got a product that is cheaper in a gallon of ethanol, wouldn't you just go ahead and buy that gallon of ethanol and blend it, therefore creating another RIN? You know, this argument that lower prices for RINs are good for the industry, I don't get it. Because it reduces the incentive to blend. So less incentive to blend equals lower ethanol demand. That's how I see it. I think we are taking a bite out of ethanol demand. I don't think there's any question about it. We need to do something about that. So National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook. This is for March 21 through the 25th. Yeah, I got time for this. March 21 to 25, above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, with the odds for above normal temperatures bullseyed on southern Wisconsin, eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, and northeast Missouri. But above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. Below normal precipitation March 21 to 25 in the eastern belt and in the northern plains. For the western belt, we've still got a risk for above normal precipitation expected in that 6 to 14 day outlook. 8 to 4, the 6 to 10 day outlook. 8 to 14 day, March 23 to 29, still got the above normal temperatures, but we've got above normal precipitation moving into the entire Corn Belt at that time. All right, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Thanks to Alyssa Badger from High Ground Dairy. Monday morning on AgriTalk, I'll see what Robert White from RFA thinks about all these waivers and exemptions. Have a great weekend.
Use Radiate to give back to your crop's roots and pay it forward for generations to come. Radiate is the only root stimulant that can drive maximum root growth in all crops while growing the roots of all the young future farmers of America across the country. By using Radiate on your farm, you're helping Nutrien Ag Solutions give back to FFA and give back to the roots our crops and communities are built on. Ask your Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant for details about Radiate's give back program or learn more at RadiateRoots.com. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com. AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN Smart Nitrogen. ESN is the smartest way to reduce nitrogen losses to wet soils, hot, dry conditions, or microbial attacks in standing water. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.